reminding us there the words of Psalm 121. Isn't it amazing, by the way, how comforting and securing Scripture can be, especially even sometimes with the gifts and talents? I'm amazed, by the way, all the time at our church and just the different abilities and talents that the Lord has given to us to minister, and I appreciate that good song here tonight. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 24. And while you are turning there, I'm going to just simply remind you about a famous verse that, of course, you're familiar with. The verse is Philippians 4 and verse number 13, which famously says this: I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Make sure that, by the way, you quote that correctly. That verse does not say you can do anything. Last I checked, none of us are omnipresent. None of us are omnipotent. None of us are omniscient. Those are attributes that belong to God. You know, there are many times when we just simply fall flat on our face. And I can tell you, you know, in the old Superman comics, Superman was always described as being faster than a speeding bullet. He was stronger than a speeding locomotive. He was able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. But 15 months ago, I can recall one day I was just simply leaving the house, and now overnight I hadn't noticed, but there was a glaze of ice that had formed on the driveway. And as I went out to the car, I didn't pay attention, and in a moment, all of a sudden, I was flat on my back. My feet had gone out from underneath me, and I mean, I fell. And in my falling, I injured myself. And I will tell you, it was really humbling when I all of a sudden, and many of you can even recall this, that I all of a sudden was in church, and for several days I was in pain, and you know, everybody knows I normally move, but I didn't move, and I didn't move quickly. And all of a sudden I was going around with either crutches, or I was going around with a walker, even a wheelchair, and suddenly I found out I'm not Superman. And I didn't rebound real quick. It took a long time. Sometimes those injuries, don't you hate that? You know, just like when you get sick, why is it that you can't just simply take a pill and be better right away? You know, instantaneously. I will tell you that that verse, Philippians 4:13, it does not say that you can do anything. But I do believe it says two things. Number one, you can do anything God wants you to do, but in addition, you can do it through Him. You and I are called to a life of ministry. And therefore, I want to say a couple of things about ministry here tonight. Notice our verse. Our verse is found in verse number 18 of Ezekiel 24, where Ezekiel says, "So I spake unto the people in the morning, and at even my wife died, and I did in the morning as I was commanded." I want to preach to you tonight on take the ministry challenge. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd help tonight as I just try and remind us here of some important thoughts. And I pray that you just be with each and every one of us, that we would get your mind and, Lord, just determine these truths about ministry. Bless, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. When I say take the ministry challenge, let me explain what I mean. First of all, by ministry, I mean serving God. We sometimes have the false notion that ministry only includes the paid, full-time, and specifically the pastor. You realize, by the way, not everybody is called to be a pastor. Otherwise, if only the pastors were called, who are they going to preach to? If everybody's supposed to be the pastor, you got to have some people. You have to have an audience. You have to have some people that are listening to the Word of God. Not everybody is called to be a pastor. Not everybody is called to be a missionary. Not everybody is called to be involved in a Christian school as a teacher or a secretary, you know, staff that we might have here. Not everybody's called to be staff. But I can assuredly tell you that everybody is called to ministry, because ministry is simply serving. And serving Jesus Christ. You know, 43 years ago, I was contemplating the will of God for my young life. At the time, I was within a couple of months of graduating. At the time, I started taking seriously. And I'll tell you how it started. It started when an encouraging comment: how important are words? Well, one time I was in a speech contest for my Christian school. We have the annual speech, the festivals that we have with our Minnesota Association of Christian Schools. At one time I was involved in that, and I entered one speech contest for our school, and in the middle of the speech or after the speech, I got the reports back, the judges' reports, and at the bottom of one of the judges' sheets, good pastor, long time in Mankato, Pastor John Michael, he wrote at the bottom of my judges' form, he said, "Dave, have you ever thought about preaching?" It's the first time that thought even entered my mind. But I was within a couple of months of graduating from high school. So naturally, the Lord actually used that one thought, that suggestion, words, powerful words, words that brought life, caused me to think about and contemplate, I wonder if God would actually want me in ministry, maybe preaching. I had no idea what that meant. But it was at that point there that I strangely was drawn to the book of Ezekiel. And I know, by the way, that is not a book that typically we would suggest that you want to go to. There's a lot of things that certainly are hard to understand. But for some reason, I was drawn to that book, and I found that that book began to just simply unveil for me the will of God in my life concerning ministry. Therefore, I took what I call the ministry challenge. And what I'm sharing with you here tonight is exactly what I considered 43 years ago. You know, I would say this again, I'm not asking you to surrender to be a preacher. I'm not asking you to surrender to be a paid staff member. But I am asking you to consider serving. And the challenge that I took basically involved the following three statements. The ministry is great, and the ministry is hard, but God is faithful, and God is good. And to me, that comprises the ministry challenge. Let's go through it one at a time. First of all, let me state that the ministry is great. And we see this in the life of Ezekiel. When in Ezekiel 2, in verse number 3, we have the calling of this man, where God says, "And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee." You know, when I look back over the last 35, 40 years of my life, I have to be honest and say that I've seen this time and time again. For instance, I remember one time, I was actually an intern for a while in our ministry. I was an intern while I was in college. One summer, I volunteered, went to Pastor Johnson, said, "Hey, can I be a preacher boy for a summer?" And one of the greatest summers I ever had was that summer that I was an intern. One of the jobs that I had that summer was I reported to our youth pastor at the time, Pastor Dan Parton. And I went to Pastor Dan, and Pastor Dan said, "Listen, Dave, I want you to do me a special job." I said, "What is it?" He said, "We have VBT coming in a couple of weeks." He said, "We got this problem." He said, "We have this inflatable." At the time, we owned some of our own equipment. Now, we've gotten wiser, and we rent it, and we turn it back in. But we owned the inflatable, and it was basically what we call the moonwalk. But this inflatable where kids go in, and they jump around. They have a great time. He said, "This is a very important part of our VBT." He said, "But Dave," he said, "it's got a lot of holes in it." He said, "I want to give you the task, the job of fixing all the holes." So I was serious about this, and I was given a job, a task, and so where do you start? You know, if you are today, you would basically take your phone and you would Google this or find a YouTube video. But back in those days, it was old-fashioned hard work. You had to find somebody who knew something you didn't know. And so what I did is I actually was suggested to me, "Well, why don't you go to some place where they rent this?" And so I found a place where they rented the equipment, and I went and I asked if I could ask some questions. They were very kind, very generous with their time. And I went to this place and I asked all sorts of questions. I said, "Listen, if you happen to have an inflatable, and I know you do, you rent these things out, and you had some holes in, how would you fix the holes?" And I was given a procedure, I was given a process. They said, "Here's how we do it." And so I did exactly what they told me. The problem was it was sort of like patching the Titanic. This inflatable had more holes. And every time I would fix one and I'd start blowing it up, all of a sudden it'd deflate in another area. But I stayed with it and I spent a lot of time, I don't know how many hours I put into that thing, but finally I finished that job. You know, contrasting with that, I can tell you over the years, over these last especially 35 years, you know, as I've actually been involved on staff here at First Baptist Church, there have been many great times and many great victories. I've had many people that I've led to the Lord. I've been involved in a lot of big days. I can remember one time, years and years ago when I was an assistant, we rallied, we tried to have as many as we could back in those days. We actually had Sunday school contests. And I can remember one time in particular when we pulled out all the stops and we had an attendance over 1,000. That was a great victory. That was a big day. And I remember, you know, all of the big days. I can remember all of the campaigns. I can remember all the youth activities. I can remember, you know, all the times preaching sometimes to hundreds. You know, I preached to large crowds. I've gone to the mission field. I've done all of those things. But, you know, there's something important about ministry, and that is that you realize what it's all about and who it's all about. One of the things that I've said over the years, I've said it, I know, to Brother Sean, I used to say it all the time to Brother Austin, some of these men who actually grew up in our ministry who then became staff members, and one of the questions I oftentimes ask men like this are, do you still enjoy it? Because I want them to have the same smile on their face today as they may have the first day. You know, it's a shame that oftentimes we lose sight of the fact that the ministry is great. You know, it's interesting when you consider, especially this man Ezekiel, that Ezekiel was one of a few. You realize whenever you study the book of Ezekiel, you have to realize that he actually served alongside of a couple of other men, namely Jeremiah and Daniel. You know, all three of these men were great, great in their own ways, but they were great in different places for different reasons. At the same time that Ezekiel is ministering, you've got Daniel. Daniel's in the palace. And boy, I'll tell you what an opportunity, but also, that was also big. And Daniel in the palace had opportunities to go right before the king. He had opportunities to influence, you know, especially through his prophecies and all of his ministry, very much out in front. But then behind the scenes, there was Jeremiah. Jeremiah was stuck back in Jerusalem. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. He's the one that I described a couple of weeks ago, the one that had to sadly see the destruction of the city. You know, sometimes, by the way, somebody has to stay behind. Somebody has to go through the hardships. But then you also have Ezekiel. Now, who was Ezekiel? Ezekiel was a prophet that actually was called to minister to the exiles, those who actually were in Babylon, but not Babylon in particular, but in a little village called Tel Abib. In fact, that little village, just a couple of miles outside of the city proper of Babylon, that is actually the name that actually they got converted to, you know, if you go to Israel today, the largest city, the most prominent city, is a city called Tel Aviv. It is named after the city in Babylon that Ezekiel ministered from. Now you say, which of these three were best? You can't compare. Technically, everybody is great in their own place, because ministry is all about the Lord. And by the way, I have to say, as I look back on my life, you know, and look at some of the things that I have been allowed to do, I can't differentiate between what was the greatest thrill in my life. Was it maybe, you know, leading that person, Lord, or, you know, maybe I look back, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, Valerie and I, we had the opportunity to visit our son, a son who's now a pastor in the ministry. You know, I look back at the McKays, and the McKays are getting ready to go visit their son, Eric. Eric is also a pastor, a son of our ministry, and how proud they are of him, just as we are of our son. But thinking about that versus patching an inflatable, can I just simply say that technically speaking, they're both great equally? Anything that you do for the Lord is great. It doesn't matter whether it's in front of people or behind the scenes. It doesn't matter whether you get a lot of recognition. By the way, I would tell you this. You know, that I remember Pastor Dan teaching me this. He said, Brother Dave, he said, the reason this is important is because VBT is all about getting the gospel to kids, and kids are going to get saved. Why? Because you patched an inflatable. Some of the behind-the-scenes service also is important for souls being saved. And therefore, it's a big deal. You know, when you consider this man Ezekiel, not only do we learn that the ministry is great, but secondly, we learn that the ministry is hard. Ezekiel experienced hardships. You know, ministry over the years is painful. It's one of the things that I actually saw back 43 years ago before I surrendered. I calculated, am I willing to go through a life of hardship? Because I knew. I didn't know the specifics. I didn't know everything. But I knew the ministry was hard. The ministry was hard for Ezekiel in several different ways. It was difficult. You know the man Ezekiel. He had a lot of hard messages that required hard illustrations. Hence, you come to chapter number 4, and Ezekiel is called to illustrate a siege. And he's called to illustrate here a hard nation. So therefore, God says, in order to illustrate this, I want you to sort of like play toy soldier and lay sort of the pieces that are going to remind us here of a siege, a surrounding of a city. And in the meantime here, I want you to lay on your side. And I want you to lay on your side for 390 straight days. Now, somebody who likes to be active and up and about, one of the worst things you can tell me is stay down. Lay down. Don't move. Ezekiel had to do that for over a year. And then God said, now just turn over. And now turn to the right side. Now, by the way, all of this actually was featured. It was actually illustrative. He was basically illustrating here the number of years that the northern kingdom was in idolatry, 390. And then 40 more years that the southern kingdom compounded and added some more idolaters here. He said, therefore, you are going to be besieged. You're going to be surrounded because your sins have basically surrounded you and caused you to be in a siege. Now, Ezekiel's called to do that, but then it goes on. And in chapter number 4, Ezekiel's called to do something even harder. And that is he has to eat what I call dirty bread. He has to eat some bread, and I'm not going to go into it. I know some of us, we still need to eat supper tonight. I don't want to ruin your appetite, but he's called to eat something that is absolutely defiled. And God says, eat it. And he has to eat it. But you know, when I think about Ezekiel, the hardest thing that Ezekiel was called to do, so why I chose the verse tonight, is when he lost his wife. In Ezekiel chapter 24, we read these verses. Verse 16, son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes. With a stroke, yet neither shalt thou mourn nor weep, neither shall thy tears run down. Forbear to cry, make no mourning for the dead, bind the tire of thine head upon thee, and put on thy shoes upon thy feet, and cover not thy lips, and eat not the bread of men. So I spake unto the people in the morning, and at even my wife died, and I did in the morning as I was commanded. You know, it's interesting that the Bible provides us just a scant reference to Ezekiel's wife. Just very little. We don't know what her name was. We don't know where she was from. We don't know a lot of their background, how they met, how they got married, when they got married. We don't know how long they were married. And yet I want to point out to you, verse number 16, notice how God describes her. This is important. Verse number 16, son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes. The desire of thine eyes. I notice on the onset, what a beautiful description. And I have to just remind you, I believe that that should be the way that every one of us describe the one we are married to. They should be the desire of your eyes. You know, can I just simply remind you men here tonight that you need to cherish your wife? Can I remind you wives here tonight that you need to likewise cherish your husband? You know, it should be, by the way, that we should have. And God is the one. God offers us. Listen, I know, I'm taking away. He could have said her name. He could have said her. Could have said she. But he says, I'm taking away. And the description is beautiful. The desire of your eyes. You know, that is why it is so important that you and I, we have eyes for our spouse and no other. You know, that's why the Bible even says, you know, Jesus even amplified on the commandment against adultery. And he said, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. Solomon says in Proverbs 5:20, And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? In other words, listen, have eyes for the one who is beautiful. The one God gave you, the one God gave you is beautiful. You and I, we are challenged here tonight to have eyes for our spouse. But that's not all, because notice, God recognized that Ezekiel certainly loved her. She was beautiful. He cherished her. He loved her. But notice he says, "Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes." I said that ministry is hard, but that leads me to say third and finally that the ministry also reminds us that God is always faithful and God is always good. You know, you take, for instance, this, it's sad, but there it's loaded with grace. And one of the things you and I need to do is in ministry, and ministry is about serving. It's about if you were a Sunday school teacher this morning. It's about if you are a youth worker. It's about, you know, if you played in the orchestra, or you played the piano, or you were in the choir tonight. You know, whatever your service is, you were an usher. I think about, you know, for instance, Brother Don Head, who we're going to miss. You know, that chair back there, to me, always reminds me of Don Head. But the ministry reminds us God is always faithful and God is always good. Can you see the goodness of God? Notice, by the way, some graceful moments in this act. He says, "Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke." What does that mean? With a stroke can mean one of two things. It can either mean a medical stroke, which is something that would cause possibly death, or this could be poetic. You know, a stroke of a pen. Just simply an act that was quick and sudden. Now, regardless, she did not suffer. Did you know that, by the way, that's the grace of God? You know, I even think about, you know, my good friend, Brother Don Head, who's now with the Lord. You know, obviously, that is something that was unexpected. Brother Don was not expecting to go home to be, he was expecting to go home. Brother Don was a friend, but he was also, for many, many years, Valerie and I, we lived within eyeshot of Don and Louise. You know, from my front yard, I would oftentimes look across the street, and through the backyard, I would see the backyard of Don and Louise, and many times I'd see my friend out there, and we'd wave back and forth. He was not expecting to go home to heaven. He was expecting to go home to his home in Rosemont. But he's with the Lord. You know, one of the ways to look at this is he didn't suffer long. He didn't suffer long at all. In fact, the family even told me, and, you know, I'm sharing just some inside information, but as I went to visit him here the other day, he was already asleep. But the family said, "Pastor, yesterday was a great day. Don was alive and awake and alert, and boy, we talked. It was the best day, and boy, he conversed. He had one of those rallying days, and then he just simply began to sleep. And the next day, he was with the Lord." You know, isn't there something remarkable about the grace of God? And I have to tell you, in addition to this, in this instance here, we never read about children in this family. Now, by the way, children are a blessing. But I would also have to remind you that when it comes to an untimely death, it can also be a challenge. There were no children that Ezekiel had to care for. If I can be real personal about this, A few weeks ago, I met with our missionary, Michael Shaver. And Michael, again, is a good friend. And Michael married one of our best young ladies, Nadia. And they had just a wonderful life together, 5 precious children. And they were excited. I can remember when Valerie and I, when we first met with Michael and Nadia, and we met at a Caribou, and we just had some coffee together, and they shared with us how that God was leading them to Iceland. And boy, those were some joyous days. We were excited. Our church, of course, took them on for support, but then Nadia got cancer. And God took Nadia. Now, I have to tell you, in meeting with Michael the other day, I was talking with him, and he had a smile on his face. And I said, "How's it going?" And he said, "It's going okay." Now, can you imagine, by the way, having to be the father and mother for 5 precious children? Can you imagine? And by the way, he's still planning on making it to Iceland as a missionary. He's still planning on becoming a missionary. But listen, God has just given him grace. You know, that's the God that I serve. That's the God that you serve. You know, there's many people that go through hardships, but then there are those who go through hardships with God. And that makes all the difference. Why did Ezekiel's wife have to die? We don't know. There are many theories. Some say it was to illustrate God's mourning for Israel. God wanted Ezekiel to mourn like he mourned for a nation. Some suggest it was to get their attention drastically. Maybe that was the case. There are others who say, we don't know, maybe God was trying to refine something in Ezekiel's life. Or it could be something else. The point is this, we don't know. But in context here, that we notice that God even allows, it's oftentimes misunderstood, that when God tells Ezekiel, forbear to cry, notice that verse number 17, forbear to cry, make no mourning for the dead, bind the tire of thine head, put on thy shoes upon thy feet, cover not thy lips, and eat not the bread of men. If you misread that, you think that God says don't cry. He didn't say that. He said just don't cry in public. That was a public crying. He said do all the crying you want. Just whenever you get to the people, he said just preach the word of God. Notice I love verse number 18. So I spake unto the people in the morning, and at even my wife died, and I did in the morning as I was commanded. You say, preacher, why are you preaching this? I think tonight is a good night here to just simply remark on how good God is and how good God has been and how faithful the Lord is. It was about a year ago that Valerie and I became concerned. She had noticed a lump that needed to be checked out. She went, of course, to the doctor, and I can remember when Valerie called and when I had to come home and we had to talk about it, that the doctor had diagnosed her with cancer. Obviously, the news was stunning. It was not anything that we were expecting. But I have to say, God has been faithful. And God has been good. You know, as I look back at this last year, and back a year ago, it's amazing, by the way, you know, just simply even your perspective from a year to year. But as I look back here at all of the unknown even a year ago, and by the way, we're even here today, there's still a lot of unknown. There's a lot of unknown what's happening over in Eastern Europe. There's a lot of unknown that's happening in Rosemont, Minnesota. There's a lot of unknown that's happening in your life and mine. But as I think about Valerie in particular, as this last year she has gone through many rounds of chemotherapy, and then surgery, and then rounds of radiation, now continuing her chemotherapy and immunotherapy, but we're certainly not through. She is continuing. She is continuing with treatment. Yet I want to just simply praise the Lord here tonight that Valerie, through all of this, though she has had some side effects, they've been minimal. Though she has had some symptoms, she has hardly missed church. And I'll tell you what's really important. Brother McKinney, you know this. She's hardly missed playing the piano. It's one of the things we were concerned about a year ago, is that neuropathy might cause her to just simply have diminished abilities here to play the piano. And we have been blessed. And by the way, we always are, we always have been. When I think about the fact that I look at her today and I just love that hair. And one of the things I always tell her anyways is I have always, you want to talk about what just simply gets me and what just simply hits my heart, is that smile. I'm simply saying we have been blessed, personally, Valerie and I. And you have been blessed. You know, in Ezekiel here, again, you think about what would be the worst thing could ever happen. His wife. She goes, what does the Bible say? It says, so, you know, here I was, And I spake unto the people in the morning. He did his job in the morning. That was when he preached his message. But then at even, my wife died. But then I love this. The next morning came, and I did in the morning as I was commanded. I've had a couple of times that have been extremely difficult. Times of funerals. I remember when Pastor Johnson went home to be with the Lord. That was a tough one. It's extremely tough for me. I will tell you, having, you know, been underneath him for all of the years, loved him like my own dad. When I was sitting here in the chair and when Brother Gary was leading us in songs, I couldn't even sing a word. I tried. Whatever songs you were leading, I was just like a mute. I just couldn't. I wanted to cry. The emotions were so strong. And yet I have to tell you, it was amazing that day that as soon as it was time for me to get up and preach, it's like God just simply gave me grace and I got up and I didn't cry. And I have to tell you, you might think, well, Pastor Clear never cries. That's not true. But I have to tell you, I wanted to cry that day, but God gave me grace and I was able to preach. How did Ezekiel get up to preach? Only the grace of God. You know, I had the difficult funeral here back 6 months ago. My mom. Close to my mom. My mom and I were like best friends. And I remember God gave grace once again. I'm simply saying that the ministry is hard. Ministry is great. But God is always faithful. You know, one of the things, Valerie and I, we reflect on this. Every single day, what you need to do is you need to start your day by just simply opening a window or opening a door and looking out toward the east. And just simply notice the sun rose again. The sun rose again. You know, you didn't even think about it, and yet it happened. You didn't even do anything. It wasn't like, you know, you pressed a button, sunrise. But I happen to believe that God gives us that symbol every single day to remind us of his grace and the power of his resurrection. The sun rises again. You see, the ministry is great and the ministry is hard, but God is always faithful and God is always good. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. I took the ministry challenge 43 years ago, and I encourage you tonight to do the same thing. Some of you here tonight, wherever you are, however you are serving, for some of you, it might be witnessing to relatives. It might be raising your children. It might be for you that ministry that is within our church. It might be just simply your marriage. It might be something else. And I have to say here tonight, the ministry is great, but the ministry can also have its share of hardships. But God is always faithful and God is always good. As I reflect back 43 years ago, what I was considering is still true today. I took the ministry challenge. I said, God, I'm going to just simply trust. I'm going to take. The reason I'm here tonight is because I took the ministry challenge and here's where I ended up. Where God leads you may be different, but it's always good because God is always good and God is always faithful. Would you please stand, and as Valerie begins to play, you step out and come here tonight.